Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now?
Rebel Radio. Burn it down!
Rebel Radio presents the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, then he's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hot Tag!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my house.
Welcome, everyone, to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. We are back. It is such a weird time in wrestling right now. Scotty V here with Paralegal Mike and UK Tom. Mike, Tom, Mike. How are you, pals?
We're good.
You pop Tom right off the go when you do the countdown.
Every week, it pops me.
Coming down in 3, 2, and 1.
Coming down in 3, 2, and 1. Hey, it's the In My House. guys, it's I just said it's kind of a weird time. Like, we're post Mania, we're getting into a pay-per-view right now, which I feel like is always just a good wrestling show, but Backlash is never really a must see because you kind of just can predict the card. It's been that way for years. You kind of know how it's going to go out. Spoiler alert, we're doing our picks later on in this episode. So, but, well, I promise we'll make it entertaining and fun. But yeah, it's just kind of, and the draft is in there too. So some stuff just doesn't matter. And it's just this odd thing that we'll get into when we're talking about the draft. But is anyone feeling like a WrestleMania hangover right now? Still? Okay. I think I'm past mine. I did a bit, but I think I'm past mine.
I think wrestling is hilarious right now. Yeah. Like, I haven't laughed so hard at stuff that's happening in wrestling in a good long while.
Wow. And you don't even watch wrestling.
So. Who's got time to sit in front of a TV on Monday nights besides you two jabronis?
The Bland Brothers.
I'm right up in there. Thank you. Thank you, social media, for saving me 3 hours.
Oh, man. Dudes, you just said it. Wrestling's funny. Let's get into some of the funny that's been going on because... I'm going to go back a little bit further. Paralegal Mike and I did an emergency podcast, a small package edition of the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast after AEW aired the footage of All In, where CM Punk attacked Jack Perry, to the point where we had to do an emergency episode saying, what the fuck are you guys doing? You're blowing it. You're absolutely blowing it. You didn't come out looking good at all. There's no way you can save this. The Young Bucks and Tony Khan and Kazuchika Okada and Jack Perry turn this into an angle where they attack Tony Khan on Dynamite with a vicious microphone shot to the abdomen region, and then a Meltzer driver, or what do they call it now? It's not a Meltzer driver, is it?
It's, yeah, they gotta have some.
I think they changed it to something else, but I mean, the sell job by Tony Khan on that microphone shot to the gut was just, it's up there with one of the greatest moments in pro wrestling. Let's be honest.
That was the best thing I have ever fucking watched. I watched that probably 60 times. And it got funnier every single time I saw it. And I think the funniest part for me was watching Jack Perry do that little boo-boo baby face thingy he's doing at the moment, and then looking down at Tony and just screaming "Sal!" And then Tony remembering that he apparently got hit in the stomach, not shot by a sniper,
holding his neck in hand.
Just dropped to the mat.
So funny. And I said this in our group chat, and if they didn't then go for the Meltzer driver, I would have given them TK some slack, because he's never bumped in a ring before. Mm-hmm. Maybe Jack Perry should have clotheslined him so he could have guided him down. So he knew. So, but Tony just kind of flopped ish, like fell on his ass.
Even for people that don't take bumps in the ring and come in and do something physical, have you ever seen anyone drop from a microphone tap to the stomach? No. You tell me you couldn't come up with anything. You couldn't have bopped him on the chin or something? Guys,
don't be a
unbelievable.
Pussy.
But I'm not going to say it. I was going to say something really mean, but I'm not going to say it.
I mean, I would have. More importantly, why is Tony Khan involved like this on TV? This is like the desperate stretch of working your way in.
I don't think he's doing it just to get on TV. I think they're trying to work an angle to get the heels hated, or the Bucks hated as heels as much as they can.
Has anyone listened to this podcast? They're hated.
I mean, I said this on Twitter. If this leads to Jack Perry versus Tony Khan, I am fucking buying that pay-per-view. That'll be the funniest thing.
my one
sad state of affairs if that's a pay-per-view booked match.
So that was that 2 weeks ago that happened? Or a week ago?
Last week.
I think it was a week.
Okay. So this following week is the big follow-up to that. Because my thing was, outside of referees and a couple of fake security guards, you're telling me nobody on that roster came out to help Tony Khan? Like,
it's because he left his stash unattended for the first time ever.
Let's hoover this up.
Yeah, Moxley's backstage. You can't leave that shit unattended. Yeah.
I'm guessing Kenny Omega will have a lot to say on Dynamite this week about it, because he was fired from the Elite and he is one of the EVPs of the company. But is he healthy enough to work right now? I guess we'll find out on Dynamite this week. And a good chunk of you are probably listening to this after Dynamite. So fucking have at it, I guess, boys. But
or a chunk of you aren't even watching Dynamite.
Yeah.
If the numbers show.
Wanted to follow up on really quick with, so that happens with Tony Khan on Wednesday night. On Thursday is the NFL draft, and Tony Khan is one of the main analytics guys for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's owned by Tony Khan's father, and he's there in the neck brace. And for that day, a good chunk of that day, the internet is literally going, great job, Tony Khan. You're selling the bit. Good job. Even though you're moving your head left and right and the neck brace isn't doing a goddamn thing and it's on camera, we can see it, but at least you're trying. So God bless you. And then go ahead.
Even our little group chat was saying nice things about Tony Khan.
Yeah.
Which is a rarity lately.
But he committed to the bit. God bless you, TK. And then you open your fucking mouth. And this isn't a WWE versus AEW thing. This isn't at one company versus another. He says AEW is the Coke against the Pepsi of WWE. AEW is the Coke against the WWE is the Harvey Weinstein of pro wrestling.
And it dumbest doesn't... fucking comment you could make. Like, oh my God.
I still don't understand what I understand what he was getting at, but I don't understand why anyone is comparing a drink to a dude. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
It backfired. No matter, I think he was just trying to be funny. I'm not going to lie. I think he was trying to pop the boys and pop the internet, and it backfired heavily. to the point where
the internet.
Yeah, Drew, to the point that multiple people have openly tweeted at Tony Khan, tagging him, saying, maybe it's time to get a spokesperson, a PR person or whatever, because you're not the guy anymore. You know, it's just not, it's not working. Take your phone away, go back to being behind the scenes and not in front of the camera, because let's be honest, we've all heard Tony Khan promoting his shows on various interviews across the world, including even on the radio station that I work at when AEW came through Regina last summer. And no matter what the question is, he answers with, well, I'm looking forward to it being a great show. We've got a great match with CM Punk versus Samoa Joe. Did you know it's raining outside, Tony Khan? Yeah, but Samoa Joe is fighting CM Punk this week, and it's going to be a great card. We're really excited. It's going to be the best show ever. He doesn't do anything to help his product. He's just doing that. So it's time for Tony Khan to just be behind the scenes.
The internet, like, as much as we hear that comment and go, like, what? The internet crushed Tony Khan.
Yeah.
Like, you're coming off, you're like, cool. Like, you're kind of bringing back kayfabe. This is awesome, Tony Khan. Like, you're on the upswing after the god-awful choice of showing that all-in footage. This is working out. You chose that route and you employ Ric Flair? You chose the Harvey Weinstein line and Chris Jericho is under fire for these kind of activities? This is what you chose to say? How do you not walk off that interview and someone in the back is going, that was not good?
Someone's got to be going, what the fuck was that? What are you doing? Even the announcers that were interviewing him were like, all right, we got to cut this short. Like, that's not the direction we want to go. So
I completely forgot they had Flair under contract. Holy fuck, that makes it 10 times worse.
Guy's helicopter swinging backstage for sure. Sell your product. Your ratings can never be worse. You're in the worst time for your product ratings. You're dealing with the NBA and you're dealing with the NHL playoffs. It is a hit towards your programming. Don't do stupid shit like this. Don't. You can push people away further. That is just the worst fucking thing you could have said. And again, comparing a soft drink to Harvey Weinstein, what the fuck? Like, in his head, he was just like, I got it. Like, light bulb went off.
Yeah, it was like, he's like, I got this one liner. I'm going to get it out whether it makes sense or not. That's what it felt like.
Do you think in his head, he just like reimagined him taking the bump from the mic? He's just like, oh, didn't come out as cool as I thought it would.
He was probably still high after huffing one of the Young Bucks nuts in that Meltzer driver. So he's just living that dream.
Fucking dangling legs. Fuck, was that funny, man? I've watched that so many times.
Plus, let's be honest, he's up against the WWE, which is just a rolling juggernaut right now that is even more unstoppable than it was before. Let's be honest. Like, for a little bit there, AEW was like, holy fuck, these are the cool kids. This is where everyone wants to be. And so many guys left the Fed to go there. Now, the Fed is just rolling. And we're in the draft right now. The draft happened last Friday and this past Monday. And the overall reaction that I'm seeing from the draft is this wasn't very fun. It was dull. It was a bit of a dud. Why did I get excited about it? And I think that sentiment is happening on this show as well. Tom, you watched the shows. I watched SmackDown pretty much same time you did on Saturday morning and Raw on Monday night as well. We were kind of texting back and forth while Mike was watching the Celtics try to play basketball.
What do you mean try? The bloodbath.
But Tom, your overall thoughts on the WWE draft for 2024?
So I am one of the very few fans, apparently, that I really like the brand split. I like having separate rosters. And the draft is always exciting because then we get new stuff. But this year, it just didn't do it for me. And I think part of that is not enough people moved. And it was also the people that did move, a lot of them were irrelevant.
Yeah.
There was two things I did like from the draft, and they both happened on Raw. And that is the LWO and Legado del Fantasma are away from each other. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Let's start seeing those factions wrestling other people like that. And Ilya Dragunov being called up to Raw makes me very happy. And the thing that made me even happier is that Ilya kept his gimmick. He did not put that Raw hat that he was given on his head.
He was the because only one
that's
that
not what Ilya Dragunov would do. He just held it up to the camera. And I don't think, like, I think if they told him to put that on his head, he'd have told them to get fucked.
Yeah.
Like, that dude lives his gimmick.
I like it. I like it. For me, I enjoyed it on SmackDown. I did, but let's be honest, it's a 2-hour show. It moves fast. We got legends coming out presenting some of the draft picks, the Dudley Boys and JBL and Ron Simmons on Raw. Medusa was out. That was cool. That was fine. You know me. I'm a Dudley Boys, a Bubba Ray, a Bully Ray Mark. So I like seeing him.
I always love seeing the legends, even if it is just to come out and read some names. It makes me happy.
Agreed. One of my other high points, which I don't think a lot of people are, is I'm excited that Braun Strowman is back. He got drafted on Raw. The second he got drafted on Raw in like the third round, I'm like, oh, cool. We're going to see Braun Strowman real soon. Otherwise, because we haven't heard his name in 2 years. He's been out since 38, I believe, at WrestleMania 38. So I'm excited about that because there's not really a big man anymore that's tall and jacked. A lot of the big guys are guys like Bronson Reed or Otis that are short and stocky and just thick. Right. And I'm excited to see what happens. Plus with all the Uncle Howdy trailers or whatever you want to call this branch of the Fiend Bray Wyatt character, we're getting all those teasers as well. So I think he's going to be involved in that a little bit. Mike, what did you think? I mean, you watched on Twitter. So
it sucks, but the time you have between the draft and your next pay-per-view, sure, split your brand. Just have them come out on the show. Tell them the picks have been made, and you get the shock of the entrance of a SmackDown superstar being on Raw or vice versa. You just don't get the luxury of time with the rosters being as big as they are. So I know why the draft is easier, because you're just picking names. Like, it's just easier to do that, but you would have more of a surprise and a pop if they were just, here they are. Here they are on the show. Like I said, like the superstar shakeup is, it happens. Like, just do that, but have that music hit on the show. Like, give us a reason to pop. Like, just hearing they're like, and this person will be on SmackDown. You're like, okay,
cool,
sure, that's fine. But if you heard the music hit and they came out and you found a reason to have them on TV, a little bit better. But I get why they have to. The roster's fucking huge. Like, you have to split the brands. Like, at this point, you can't just have them bounce in between. It'd be a mess. They do this solely for storyline purposes, too. They keep this stuff well-oiled, but the draft to me is boring. It's boring. You're not sports. I don't care what legend comes out to read. I like WWE right now, but, like, the draft, it just felt slow. And especially going into Backlash, I feel like there's no weight going into any of those matches because the draft kind of overshadows that build towards that. Like, the little bits you did get, like, we'll get into the card for Backlash, but I'm like, I don't think I should be more invested for AJ and Cody, and I'm just not. I like their promo. I like the contract signing, but I'm just not there. My excitement isn't what it should be for those two to be going.
I'd rather watch a Young Bucks match than another contract signing in wrestling.
It's like the sake of promo to do it. I'm with you. You're like, okay, like, you're signing a fucking contract. It's wrestling. This is wrestling, like, man.
Where's the contract signing for every other fucking match then?
That's it. Every match should just have one. That should be your show.
Plus, they could have had that promo without the contract signing. It's just,
yeah.
Cody could have called out AJ. AJ comes out. They say their piece. And then they leave, kind of thing, right? With the somewhat of a mutual respect between the two. They could have done that. For me, the draft is just labeled wrong. If it wasn't called a draft, because we all know what a draft is in professional sports, I like the superstar shakeup. You can switch it up that way. I feel like after Mania, if they're going to do the draft, let's say at the end of every April, for me personally, I think you should have it after Backlash. But I think go ahead.
It should always be the Raw and SmackDown after Backlash, I think.
I agree. But I think after Mania and before, let's say, the that Raw and SmackDown after Backlash, I don't think there should be anybody on any brand. I think it should be free agency. And then you've got some surprises of who's showing up on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and who's ending up where. And then when the draft happens, you're literally drafting free agents, quote unquote, to go to whatever show. I also think at some point you've got to draft an actual wrestling free agent, someone that's not signed, and have them be part of that. And I know that's probably not easy to do or guarantee every year, but if you have that opportunity, you should do it. So it was a lot. Monday Night Raw was lackluster because the crowd was just not great. And some of the booking was very confusing as well when it came to Braun Strowman and Logan Paul and Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs. Just didn't quite add up in my head, but I understood why they did it. But
I think the draft too, like, should solely be used for performance center talent.
Yeah, I'd be good with that.
Yeah, like if you're gonna draft, it should be your performance center talent. These are the people we're calling up to the roster. Like, it doesn't matter if we see Cody on Raw or SmackDown. People are invested in Cody. They know the main roster product. It's bringing up the NXT signings that I think are important. And it was good enough job when they do it here. But like, I think the draft should just solely be for performance. But then again, it'd be small because you can't pull up that many stars from NXT.
But then you could do a quote unquote shakeup or a trade deadline.
Yeah.
And then Raw and SmackDown could trade wrestlers back and forth with an NXT draft. I think that's
a way better thing because it's showing who your top superstars are if you traded Cody and someone else, or like, mm-hmm. just kind of match them up. No, but it's nice that we're there and they're built now and we can get back to business. So it's like we had to eat those two episodes of programming to be like, okay, we're back in motion. Like, let's get back in motion.
And
I think if they're going to keep doing it the way they do, I think NXT should get a draft round where they take two from Raw and two from SmackDown, because we know these main roster talents are going to, somebody's going to NXT. Baron Corbin just did it for a year. The New Day were in NXT for a little while. Like, they're going to take people anyway. So just put it in the draft. That would make it a little bit more interesting.
For sure.
I was fully expecting for this draft that people were going to get drafted to NXT from the main roster. I mean, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson were there for a good stint. I think they're fighting on NXT this week at Spring Breakin'. So, I mean, you could have done that, have them down there for 3 months or whatever it is, and then just have them appear back up on Raw and be like, hey, we called them up. You know, so just the way it works. But, yeah. I wish they would think outside the box. I'm sure they have, but their desire to be very similar to professional sports will never die. If they can try to mirror that, you know, NFL draft kind of thing, that's what they're going to try and do, even though it never works. But fellas, we have a pay-per-view this weekend, a big PLE, as they say. WWE Backlash is in Lyon, France this Saturday for us in Saskatchewan. It starts at 11 a.m. It's 1 o'clock Eastern time in the afternoon. And I can't tell you how fucking happy I am that we got a pay-per-view starting at 11 a.m. And I can just sit and watch. And then I can go on and have pretty much another full day after that. Mm-hmm. It's a Sunday where I don't have to do anything. So we've got Backlash coming up this Sunday. I believe there's, Paralegal Mike said off mic, that there's only 5 matches announced as of this recording.
Thus far, as of a day ago, I'm seeing from this card. So, but I mean, SmackDown is still to happen.
SmackDown is happening from Lyon, France as well. So I imagine there'll be some more matches announced, but we'll announce those, our picks for those on social media, at our socials, at In My Host Pod, if and when that does happen, so we can make sure we got some accurate rankings. So I can go back to back to back on Booker of the Year, but I don't want to jump the gun on that. Don't shake your head at that. That's rude. No. So, guys, let's get our picks in for Backlash.
Here we go. Let's start off with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens versus the Bloodline, Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa. I think we all know who has to win this.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going for a curveball.
I'm going with, this is going to end with Kevin Owens and Randy Orton winning by disqualification, because I think there's going to be some shenanigans going on. And it's just going to end up being a beatdown.
I'm going with a little bit of a curveball. I don't think there's going to be a winner. I think they're going to brawl all over the building.
Oh. Ooh.
And it's going to be a no contest or double. There'll be no finish. There'll be no winner of somehow.
No contest, eh? No contest.
Yeah. I got the Bloodline win. The Bloodline's winning.
All right. Mike's got Bloodline. I've got the RKO show.
You have Randy, Kevin, and Cody all on that show, which is perfect. Cody's on SmackDown now, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Where's Kevin Owens?
SmackDown.
Wow. It's funny. You add a third to that Bloodline roster. It's a pretty good triple threat there.
Ooh.
Ooh. But I've got the Bloodline going over. I think they, to keep the name strength, especially that it's the new version of the Bloodline 2.0, I think they need the win.
It's a great call and one that I'm somewhat regretting my pick now, but I'm going to stick with my pick.
Enjoy your curveballs. Booker of the year, paralegal Mike. Next up.
Sick flex.
Thanks. I wore a smaller shirt today. They're really popping.
I'm wearing the Kabuki Warriors. Medium.
Yeah, double medium. The Kabuki Warriors versus Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship.
Bianca and Cargill, I said it when they signed Jade Cargill.
He did. He called it. You pretty much called it day one. These women are now technically on different brands, even though the Women's Tag Team Champions can go wherever. Mm-hmm. But I think they're really going to try to establish Damage Control on Raw. So I agree. I think it's going to be Bianca and Jade.
It's harder to do the split with them because they're going to wrestle. Your plan is Bianca and Jade to go. But we're pretty shit that long of a build.
I think it's
hey?
SummerSlam. I think it's SummerSlam. And I don't think it's hard. All you have to do is have one loss where Bianca loses and Jade goes, I'm not a fucking loser, and drops
her. Think they lose the belts at SummerSlam and then keep it going till WrestleMania.
Oh, then technically at Survivor Series, you could have a Jade team Jade versus Team Bianca.
They can throw each other out of the Rumble.
Yeah.
Tom's long-term booking.
I mean, you could have Rhea and Jade at that point, though. That's a big women match. Like, that's what you want to see in a poster. I think, yeah, you're probably right. They're going to win the titles here, lose it at Clash at the Castle.
I mean, eventually.
To build for SummerSlam.
But Charlotte Flair is going to be healthy in about 7 or 8 months, too.
Also, another great match for Jade.
So, just saying, it could be Jade and Charlotte next year at Mania. But I like the options. I love all these options for Jade.
I think the match I'd want to see at SummerSlam is Bianca Jade. So, I have them winning the titles as well. That's a great call.
Nice.
And the Kabuki Warriors will go back to obscurity.
Unfortunately. Although, I will say, anytime we get Kabuki Warriors and just street clothes on Monday Night Raw, I'm all about it.
Next up, we've got Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton for the WWE Women's Championship.
I mean, Bayley's winning this.
Yeah, I got Bayley retaining as well.
Although I'm actually pretty excited to see Tiffany Stratton show out again against two veterans kind of thing and getting that rub from them. So I'm curious what this Lyon, France crowd is going to be like when it comes to talents like a Tiffany Stratton, who's supposed to be a heel, but it's a European crowd. They're probably going to cheer the shit out of her. So.
If they watch the product, they'll get behind it. They've given them reason to in the past. So, yeah, Bayley's retaining. You're not going to have Bayley go out and just lose the title like that.
I agree.
Next up, Damian Priest versus Jay Yeet Uso.
Damian Priest is retaining.
Yeah, he's got to retain. Now, Judgment Day involvement?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Finn Balor's got to find a way to be on a card, that fucking loser.
I will say some people have been pretty critical about Cody's booking since he became champion. I'm way more critical of what they've done for Damian Priest since he became champion. Last night or on Monday Night Raw was literally the first time I think I've seen him holding that title. It's always backstage vignette and the title's just on a crate in the back. So let's get going with good old Damian Priest here. But anyway.
Yeah, Backlash is a weird a weird event. Like, it's too soon after Mania to make major changes unless they're going to say, fuck you, like, we're going to make major changes. Mm-hmm. I just, Damian's got to keep that strap for a bit.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have AJ Styles, the phenomenal AJ Styles, versus Cody Rhodes for the Undisputed WWE Championship. Yeah.
We've all got adrenaline in our soul on this one, guys.
Whoa.
So we have Cody versus AJ, a match that I'm looking forward to and have high expectations. AJ Styles with his shitty music because fuck you, Def Rebel. But Cody's retaining. There's no way around it.
I think there's a tiny way around it. Is if you watch SmackDown last week, Cody took a pretty hard bump on his shoulder trying to do a Cody cutter.
That was fucking hilarious.
And it looked like he landed right on his shoulder where it took all the impact. If there is the small chance that he is hurt, put that title on AJ and just shock the world. I don't think that'll happen.
It's not going to happen.
But I'm going Cody as well. We're all going Cody. But I mean, how wild would that be if they did pull that trigger, even if he wasn't hurt enough to be taken out for an extended period of time?
It's a great title defense match.
I'm
like,
so
it's two ideal workers, man. Like, it's a match I should be more excited for, but just how quick after Mania and where you have to put guys into the program, just not there. I'm sure when, like, I hear AJ shitty new music and he's coming out of the ring, I'm like, oh yeah, these guys are going to wrestle now.
I'm excited. I'm hoping we get a couple little Bullet Club Easter eggs in there somewhere, but I'm excited for it. I don't mind the build up at all. I'm curious to see how this match plays out, and hopefully it lives up to the hype I've set up for right now. Real quick, a big reason that Leon France is getting a pay-per-view is because of a house show they did last year, the year before. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys that was over like no other was Baron Corbin. He was drafted to SmackDown. Do you think we
after
get a
the show? Like, he wasn't even drafted on the show. So that's how good Baron Corbin is.
But do you think we get a Baron Corbin versus like an LA Knight on the pay-per-view? Maybe on SmackDown this week? Who knows?
I think he shows up on SmackDown and causes chaos.
Ooh, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it. Guys, it's time for a pop quiz.
Big points, I hear. Big points, I hear.
Yeah, this week's question has got a whopping 4 points on offer.
Oh, God.
Mick Foley. So it's Mick Foley. Fuck's sake.
The question is, two wrestlers have become champions in wrestling by finding the belt in the trash. Who were they and what were the belts?
Fuck. I know the one belt was the television championship on WCW television championship.
Mm-hmm. 1 point.
Oh, I get a point for that. That's good.
Was it R-Truth in the 24/7 title?
It was not.
Who was it on WCW? For some reason, the first name that came to my head was Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
2 points for Scott.
Fuck. I don't know.
Can I ask a quick question about the other
one?
Sure.
What? Help.
Did you say yes?
Sure.
Okay. Is it either WCW or WWF, WWE?
WWF.
Okay, interesting. My wild guess for that one is a Crash Holly in the hardcore title.
No.
Shit.
Who is it, Tom? Who is the WWF one?
It was the European Championship, and it was Midian.
Really? I never would have got that.
And both now in the trash, actually. So.
But I got 2 points out of that.
Fuck's sake.
You did.
I'm loving that.
Love that all you want. Booker of the Year, Paralegal Mike. Stand by your champ, 2024.
Nice. Dude, I love those questions. That was a fucking great pop quiz. But guys, it's been a fun show. Send all of your backlash picks and any other wrestling thoughts to @InMyHousePod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're always monitoring that and posting stuff and communicating with you guys. So we'd love to do it more. As always, if you see this podcast on Spotify or on social media, hit that share button, and that helps us out as well. But guys, we're out of time. The clock's about to run out. Great show. Enjoy Backlash. For Paralegal Mike, UK Tom, I am Scotty Villa. This has been the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go wild.
to my house.
It's my house.
Yowie wowie.